And thinks he's right, and Brother Branham spoke about that. He says, it's not the surprise of the drug at the day of judgment, it's you that you think that you're right. That's what he said. And when you see this thing, sometimes we do things that we violate God. We get wrapped up with sometimes a group and we say, I'm in the message. True. I put the books out and I love the message. I'll do anything for the message. But I don't want to lose the vision of my relation with Jesus Christ. Because the scripture tells me if that same spirit that dwells in me, that was in Christ Jesus, is going to raise me from the dead. So the separation now comes when you realize that as a believer, listen to this, as a believer, don't take a blanket and say, now, all of us who go to this church, it's in the message, then we go to the, we'll be there by. That's wrong. It's you and you alone, that's what counts. It's good to boil things down, isn't it, sometimes, and say, hey, where do you go? In Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter, 9 to 13, we read especially this verse on the 11th, says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. Because something doesn't happen, God doesn't strike me dead, because God doesn't do this, then I'm okay, ready to go. I pray for my family, for the Lord to save them. I have a sister, paid to face Jezebel. Drunk. Running around, left her husband. She's ready for the rapture. And I look at that, and I say, that's wrong somewhere in the scriptures, right? But the question is, no, my sister, what about me? How am I standing on the word of God? Or somebody gives me a flattery sermon, and I leave, and I feel good, and I'm empty in an hour. This has to be considered. And God says here, man with his evil imagination greedily drink down iniquity and drunkenness, like a man drinks his liquor. He doesn't regard the consequences for nothing. He says, that's me. I think everything is all right. How do you know that? I believe that. And we do many things that they are wrong, and the scripture corrects us, but we do not want to change. Remember, regardless of how much the scripture is going to be preached, unless God gives you the revelation of it and the power to fulfill it, you go nowhere. It's not only the revelation. The revelation, removing the veil to see what it is. But the power to fulfill it, it's another story. Many of us want to do this and not to do that. But if you watch it, it takes the power of God to help you to fulfill what he tells you. And that requires dedication from your side. Requires to let yourself off and say, I want to just surrender to God. We try to figure everything out mentally. The second coming of the Lord. Then we'll take a quote from here, a quote from there, put a little sermon, sit at the computer. And that became a curse to the people. Because you don't wait upon God to see what God has. And that can destroy people. So God now, we know that Israel was in contact with spirits, and there was no sex distinction between men and women. Do you know that? I put a little paper out, take a copy. On the fifth verse of the book of Deuteronomy, you'll find a page like that in the door. It tells you one of the forms that in the time of Israel, they were worshiping Mars. And the man had to wear a garment pertains to a woman and a woman to a man. total perversion. Now, I got a brother who needs to be saved. He's an alcoholic. But his mind, if he wasn't like that, would be he's a genius. He would take a 24-volume encyclopedia, I read it, and then tell you what it's been like that. And I said to him the other day, he called me to say, Happy New Year, fine, God bless you. I said, Theo, what do you have you read on the history of women having short hair? Now, you call it pity things, but they're not. Oh, he says, that's the history of Corinth. I said, what do you mean, history of Corinth? He says, in Corinth, the women that were practicing prostitute are the port. They have short hair. That's where it started. And Paul went to the Corinthians, and that's what it was. And look at it today. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Now, God looks at these things and looks at us and says, now, the worship of the heathen and heathen, the man wearing the garment pertaining to a woman, and the woman pertaining to a man, that's how they worship in Venus and Mars. It was a heathen worship. And today, I have relatives. Now they go to Pentecostal church, short-haired Jezebels, a pair of pants with a zipper in the front, raising their hands, praise the Lord, ready for the rapture. Why? They are worshiping other gods and they don't know it. Under the same anointing, the hypocrite and the genuine are worshiping the same anointing, and they don't even know it. The rain falls for the just and the unjust. And there's nothing you can say unless God reveals it. The only thing you do, you make enemies for nothing. Just leave it alone until God speaks to them. Now, if they can hear, fine. If they are predestined, they are going to hear. You cannot convince anybody to anything. God has to do it in the heart. And when this happens, God is doing that in the heart, then there's a change takes place, and you turn around and you say, now, wait a minute. Something bothers you. Look at this. This becomes life. Comes and hits you pretty hard. He says, I want this. The rest of them, when you go down to the padlock, we love you and so on, you tell them, forget that stuff. Here's the word. That's what I want. I'm hungry. And when you see what happens, God, by his grace in the last days, sends a voice of a prophet condemning the appearance of men and women. He rebuked man, and he rebuked women. Now, I'm going to say some strong things probably for you, for me. I just read the older literature, and I'm reading them, and I love them. So, today, in our day, God, I was doing some research to put a book together about something, but Herb is reading it now. And today, you see, the worst part about it, like we're going to see in Hosea, Israel knew that they were in trouble. They knew it. But the Laodiceans, they don't know it. They are miserable, blind, and they don't even know it. So it's worse than Israel. You can't tell them anything. They know everything. You cannot convince them anything. Now, the old times, the father was the head of the house. I believe in the scriptures. The scripture teaches kingship. The man is the head of the house, and the kids, when they used to go to work, they used to bring the money and bring them to the house. They didn't keep them like today. That's perversion to the highest core. Why? They go to work in the convenience market, they get some money, they got enough money to buy cigarettes and drugs and buy a car and make a mess out of their lives, and you're responsible for doing it. If there's no headship on in the home, in a Christian home, or husband or wife, there's no headship either between Christ and his bride. Because God parallels that in the book of Ephesians. What are we? What are we doing? Brother Branham says, a woman walks around half naked. He says, a man looks and lusts after her in the day of judgment. She does twice as he's responsible for her sins, or his sins. What happened to a woman that, to a man that his wife pushes him out of the house? She's not a wife to him. In the day of judgment, his sins will be upon him no matter whatever he is. That's the word. Oh, but he did that. Who gave you the right even of an opinion? Keep silent. That's what he tells you. One hears some hard things. But we're at the end. You've got to face that. At least I got to get it out of myself. It might be at my end. I don't know. You don't see far enough to see Israel, what they have done. The patriarch of the house used to take all the kids. Everybody brings their money. The first thing he'll do, he put them there. He has the money for the Lord. First thing. Then he will allocate money to help. You need this, you need this, you need that. No, it wasn't the case. It's my check. It's my money. No, it wasn't. It didn't go to the wife either. And the wife didn't cater to that. It went to the man. Look at our condition today. Kids have money in every direction you can imagine. And they go home and eat and sleep. And they do anything they want. It's total delinquent. Why? Mommy and daddy led them to it. You are liable to it in the day of judgment. Their imagination goes in every direction you can imagine. I was talking to a man that problems with his wife, his German background and so on. I said, it's hard to live with a German bear. That's why I told him. Judgment is coming. We are at the end now. The people are asleep. You can tell them, I don't know if they're going to do it. You know why? Are we leaving? Are the 7 days after the door closed with Noah and the people are floating around and you don't see true repentance? I'm not saying raising your hand and accepting. I'm not talking about these things. I'm talking about sincere repentance before God that has no depth, no height, no width. That's what I'm talking about. Surrender everything to Him. What do you see it anymore? Oh, I'm glad to have you in your service. Sister such and such bought the flowers. She's nice. God bless you, sister. You go around to the tithing box. Her tithing is his tithing. Who gave her the right to have a separate account? Tell me in the scriptures. That's not a home. That's not headship. That's abomination before God. Be silent. But things have to be said. And now God speaks to Israel after that. And he says, now look, I had a covenant with you. If there's a man or a woman, so on, go after idols. What is an idol? You can worship yourself. You can worship your car. You can worship your wife. You can worship your husband. You can worship your mommy. You can worship your daddy. If God is not the only object of worship in your life, you are heathen. Think of this. You look at these things in our day, and you don't see the home as a structure. Daddy, sometimes, with the help of mother, try to make the home go. Everybody pulls in their direction. And what happened? Oh, don't bother my little Johnny, my little boy. Yes, whatever you want. You want some eggs? Yeah, I'll fix your eggs. Drunk all night and dope. Because you permit him to do that. Where are we? Oh, we're ready for the rapture. Let's stop and look. Let's stop and see the Word of God, what the Word of God says. Now, the word imagination in Deuteronomy 29:19 is a Hebrew word. It's associated with stubbornness, which is refusing obedience or compliance, inflexible. And you compare it when you go home with Acts 8, 18 to 24. A it's good sometimes to think that the only thing we have to do, clap our hands and sing a song and everything's okay. Say how many love the Lord and everything's okay. But let me tell you something, that will not get us to the other side. This book is going to open. And that's where you and I are going to stand, regardless of what we think we are. Wednesday night is a night of study now. Also, you see on the 18th verse in Deuteronomy 29:18 in the King James Version was the word wormwood. In Hebrew is rosh, which is a poisonous herb of bitterness. Somewhere might be a root of bitterness in me. A root of bitterness in you. It takes only the Holy Ghost to get it out. Do you know that? You don't realize that, but that's what it takes. I remember a sister one time put a question to Brother Branham, or a brother, I don't know where he was. The question was, Brother Branham, I'm saved. I have been baptized in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Look how the question went. Never said you received the Holy Ghost or not. It takes the Holy Ghost to get that out. Some people think they got the Holy Ghost, but they don't. In Jesus' name, but how do I get away from a stubborn spirit that I can't seem to break, away? That's a good question, isn't it? You know what? Give to that person credit first. You know why? At least they recognize it. There are people cross-eyed today. They don't know that they got it. I don't care what you say. That's how my mommy and my daddy did it at home. Leave them alone. Cast them into God. Brother Abraham said this, well, my Christian brother or sister, whoever it may be, now he says most times when you find people with a stubborn spirit, it's usually a complex that causes it. Either they have inherited it from a mother, father, uncle, aunt, and so on. See, that spirit can be hereditary. Read this month's Reader's Digest article about testing on the genes to see if you have a disease 2 days after you were born, if you're going to get it or not. It's a beautiful article, the way that was written. There's things that are inherited in us. And God speaks here. He says, if there's anything like that, with other words, if you have a responsibility, you better get rid of that. Is God's going to show up? And you know what? The wife will say, amen, amen, amen. But look at her. And this that you see here, remember the scripture is speaking about a root of bitterness. It's the part of the plant or a tree which is normally below the earth's surface. You don't see it. But somewhere it gets its strength. It can be in me, it can be in you. So we've got to face reality. Lord, are you talking to me? Forget my brother and my sister for a minute. I look at myself, you look at yourself. You say, that root of bitterness, where is it hiding? What kind of strength it gets, where it gets it? Is it possible? Like I was looking through my folder, I have a study folder on hereditary. Is it possible that I inherited it and I don't want to admit it? Well, you might be worshiping your daddy, worshiping your mother, and you don't know that worship is the root, what gets out of it. And you don't realize, so you. You idolize your relatives, your daddy, your mother, whatever you idolize, and probably their spirit fall upon you and destroy your home. Wednesday night. Now, that root is below. Let's start working. You don't see it. The only thing you see Sunday morning Everybody say amen. Amen. Clap your hands. Amen. Inside corruption from that root. Corruption is coming. That root has been cut off by the Holy Ghost, by the Word. If we don't do it, we'll do it to us. That I can build in and have a beautiful outside appearance. Listen, Brother David, I wear a dress. I got long hair. I do this, I do that. But there's a judgment coming. That root of bitterness must be removed. You're talking about the headship that we're talking about. Man, look, Brother Branham rebukes the women and this and that, but how much we look at the rebuke that we get. Brother Branham said, if your wife acts like that, and you let your wife do that, it shows how much man you are. Correct? Are we rebuked or not? Why? Because Brother Branham believes in a headship. The woman's lip movement is covered up the root, and you see the plant. I don't care what they say, but God's word is perfect. And he says, now, if there's any roots of bitterness, let's look at a verse for a minute or two. That's in the book of Jeremiah. I like Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Jeremiah 9. When you go home, read from 12 to 16. Listen to what he says here in the 13th verse. And the Lord said on the 13th verse, because they have forsaken my law. Oh, it didn't say they don't shake up and down and run around and say praise the Lord and everything. Forsaken my law. This is the thing you're going to face in the day of judgment. This book. When I go to church, I do this and works takes you nowhere. You can have 10,000 people in your congregation and you go to hell yourself. The scripture says I can preach to others, I can be accustomed with it, Paul said. Anathema. Works takes you nowhere. It's a surrender of heart to Jesus. That's what takes you. Oh, is he a great man? Great to what? Great to what? Always comes back to your mind when Brother Barry preached the sermon that Christ, the mystery of God in me, been revealed, and it walks out, see Brother Hickerson, and says to Brother Hickerson, Brother Hickerson, I got that many that are five on me. Message people, five on me. Where's the rest of them? You know, we listen. We hear, but to do it, it's a big problem. God has to give you the power and the revelation to do it. And pray, you say, God, what's going on? Here he says, and the Lord said, because thou hast forsaken my law, which I said before them, and have not obeyed my voice, the word of the Lord. Obey, not listen. Not philosophize about it. Not splicing codes, but obey. He says this, neither walk therein, but have walked after the imaginations of your own heart. This is Israel. This is my example. This is what God tells me to be careful right now. He says, these people have done that. David Mamelis, don't do that. Because why? Because they missed the boat at the end. Totally missed the boat. Well, went out. Destroyed. And the final thing, the blood that was going to save them and redeem them, they denied the blood. That was a fatal mistake, Brother Branham said, in Daniel 70 weeks. Therefore, he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even these people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. Now, he's speaking the root. God says he's going to do it to them. And one of these nights, we're going to spend time that God will send the people in a strong delusion that they will believe in a lie because they did not receive the love of the truth. They got the letter of the truth. They got the letter of the message, but they didn't receive the love of the message. And then you're applying, he says, therefore means it's wearing out so progressively they don't even know it's happening to them. When Brother Brown was preaching, I remember I used to go to the service and go hide in the men's restroom, cry, so Lord, forgive me. What do you see that anymore? Because God says he's going to give them. He says, I will feed them, he said. Go ahead. God removes his spear and he says, fed with the thing that you got and die. And that's what they did. Look for a minute with me in the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea, the 10th chapter. In the 4th verse. Let's say from the 3rd. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we fear not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? You know, the people say, now we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You've forsaken the Lord, you have nothing left. No kings will do you any good. Nothing will help you. Because when we forsake the Lord, where is the simplicity of the gospel? Where is the simplicity when the one who can pray and says, Lord, be merciful to us? I says, Lord, reveal to us what grace means. Someday I'm going to give Corinthians the definition of grace. Where is it? You know, we sit up the song sometimes and we listen. They wrote songs about Brother Branham, which I appreciate, Brother Branham. But you are wondering, where is my Jesus anymore? Is he standing outside of a message church knocking the door, trying to get in? It'll push him out. God says he's the only one object of worship. Nobody else. We are thankful for the message, but the glory goes to Jesus. Pagans, keep on going. In that 4th verse, listen. They have spoken words. They got together. They know what's going on in the 3rd verse. They in Israel knew we mess up. We are in a mess. They knew it very good. On the 4th verse, he says they have spoken words. Now, that spoken words, in order to understand it, you have to go to Isaiah. I will give you the reference, 8 and 10. They take counsel together, and 8, 10 writes, and it shall come to know to nothing without a word, speak the word, and it shall not stand. They got together, so now what are we going to do? Nothing can help you if you don't have the Lord number one in your life. Nothing can help you. We should be in a spiritual state that you can hear in 2 minutes a total disaster, California is singing, and you say, I'm ready now to meet the Lord. You don't have to run nowhere. You don't have to say, let me go to my knees. The only thing you can say, I'll go to my knees. Lord Jesus, I'm going to my knees because the time is here. I'm ready to go. You don't have to run to repent, to pick up your phone and ask, forgive me for that, forgive me for that, forgive me for that. I'm ready to go. You don't have to call the pastor. You say, Pastor, what's going on now? What do we do from now? If you don't know the Lord, the King will not help you. Life gospel. And he said they have spoken words, swearing falsely. With other words, regarding the covenant, we're going to do it. Praise the Lord. In making a covenant, they got a covenant with God, but they didn't follow it. Thus judgment, he says, springeth out as hemlock in the furrows of the field. Judgment is coming. Don't think because judgment is not come speedily, it's not there. It's there. What are you saying, Brother David? You better be ready, that's what I'm saying. Open this book and say, where do I stand? Oh, the Lord loves you. He brought you to the message and so on. Fine, but I want to know where I stand, you deceiver. I want to know when the Lord comes in the next minute to say, I'm ready to go and I have nothing to change. That's what I want. Nothing to change. I'm ready. That's powerful statements, aren't they? God now looks at that, the root of bitterness. And Deuteronomy 29:19, we read the word this curse, which is the covenant of the verse 12. When you go home, read 2 Timothy, the second chapter from the 14 to 18 verse. Also Hebrews 12, 15 to 17. Now in that Hosea 10, 4, they have spoken words. They got together. They talked it over. Brother Branham said, to follow your pastor, let me give you something to remember. He said, your pastor. He didn't say God's pastor. If it's God's pastor, he said, we'll take it to the end. Many people follow their pastor. They go to the ditch. You follow Christ. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. You remember that? You know, the pastor is only an office that God ordained to lead you to Christ. And when he becomes the kingfish, when he becomes the substitute of Christ, he's an antichrist, and I don't care what he preaches. God now, the Israelites, were convinced of their sin, and they have not feared God. They cry out of their misery. What then should a king do to us? It's over. What the king's going to do for us? What good will it do? The person says, I wish if I can die. You better know where you're going. I wish if I can blow my brain. It's going to be worse than the other side. The thing is, you cannot escape. You cannot go any direction except straight to Christ. Brother Brown preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Study that tape. You must be born again. Study it. And you'll find out what salvation is. Salvation is not a picnic. Salvation is not accept. Salvation is combined together with repentance and the conviction of the Holy Ghost that shakes you up and down. And you don't have to worry about re-indoctrinate yourself. That Holy Ghost in you will lead you to the truth. You don't have to worry about babying around and change your spiritual diapers. You don't have to do that. Because the Lord tells you what to do. This is an Israelite reaction. Consultation of the beginning of Hosea 10:4. They have spoken words. Martin Luther wrote an article about that, his comments. And he said this. Luther's writing in 1540, at the time of Reformation, says they got together, but what good is doing to them anyway? But the problem is, they know it. They know what they have done. If you, I'll give you a few scriptures now. If you want to study imagination and stubbornness, I'll give you some scriptures. Just study them. Go to the scripture and says, I want to know what the Bible says. Right? That's fair enough, isn't it? All the reference I'm going to give you is in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 3:17. Jeremiah 7:24. Jeremiah 9:13. Jeremiah 11:8. Jeremiah 13:10. Jeremiah 16:12. Jeremiah 18:12. One more, Jeremiah 23:17. Study this, and you get a clear picture of what's going on. I don't want to get tonight on the subject, it's just like witchcraft. That's what the Bible tells you. I don't want to get into it. It would be too hard. But the final condition of Israel we have in Jeremiah 3:16. Let me look if I can find that verse there down there. Jeremiah 3:16. Look at this. And it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increase in the land, multiply. More members you get, more corruption you got. Do you know that? There's a rule there that follows that. The Bible says so. In those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind. They don't even think about the ark of the covenant. They don't think about an altar call of the Holy Ghost. They don't even think about repentance. They don't even think about condemning things that the prophet, you know, when you go to them, oh, Brother Branham said this. They don't say where they stand. They don't say where they stand. Just put the bounce in this. Bounce it on the wall and get by with it. But he said here, neither shall it come to mind. Anathemisa epitigardia means that they couldn't even remember in their heart of what was going on. The Ark of the Covenant was the most precious piece of furniture of the temple. You know that. They don't even think about it. Who cares? We got a padlock and everybody loves everybody. Just shake their hands and tell them, glad to have you with us. All these commercials go away. But it stands on the other side of day that this book is going to open. It will be a lot to depart from me, ye that work anomia, transgressors of the law. This is the key you have to watch. Take in your mind and separate two things. Things are going to happen on the other side. And number two, what you have to do to get there. You can be deceived and tell you the table is going to be there and everybody's going to be there. We're going to shake one another's hand. I'm going to see Brother Branham hugging him. And Paul and Peter are so glad about that. But the big question comes, am I going to be there? This is the key. I have rather known nothing about the other side and know I'm going to be there. That's all. I will be glad to be where Jesus is. That's all I can tell you. Now, these people in Hosea and Jeremiah, when Ezekiel, I'm sorry, Jeremiah, when he's speaking to them about it, the whole chapter, if you read that, the third chapter when you go home, is a beautiful chapter. Jeremiah and Ezekiel is just, when you start reading it, it's just, these people don't put band-aids. They just have a butcher knife cutting you up to pieces. Now, the condition of Israel was better than our condition. Because they knew where they stood. They got together. they were able to reason, says, what good it will do to us. But in our day, if you go to the Laodicea church age, you'll find out they are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, and they don't know it. This is spiritual meanings there, you see. People put it in carnality to avoid the spiritual condition, but there are spiritual meanings there that we have to study. We're going to, because our time is running out. Now, when we look at the last days, Revelation, we're not in Laodicea, we're going to study that, spend a little time, and then I will go to the 25th chapter of Matthew, the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise, who they are. Both of them are virgins by the word. Both of them got the letter, but where is the Holy Ghost? People, without being saved today, they accept the message and they tell you, well, if I believe in this message, then I'm ready to go. I got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is an experience. It's not gimmicks. The Holy Ghost is an experience. Now, I got so much material that I will be covering, but to show you that, because you feel you believe in the message, go with me before I forget it to the Gospel of John for a minute, the 8th chapter. That 8th chapter of John is a masterpiece. The whole Bible is. The 13th verse and the first is therefore. I'm looking for the verse which says the Pharisees believe on him, the Jews believe on him, and they believe on him, and then Jesus said to them, if you believe, continue staying with my word. I'll find it in a minute.
31.
Thank you, Brother Gordon. This is the 31st verse here. Then Jesus spake to those Jews which believe on him. Do you believe they say they believe on him or not? It's there. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You do not yourself set yourself free. The truth makes you free. No church can make any man free. God sets you free, not any church. What's that stuff? But they couldn't follow that. They start arguing. They answered to him, Abraham is our seed. You know, we are in the message. You believe in Brother Branham and the whole thing. But he's speaking about setting free by the word. Is it possible to look at the time of Paul in Galatians, the 3rd chapter? Paul said to the Galatians, oh, foolish Galatians, what's the matter with you? You started with the spirit, you finished with the flesh. Is it possible, Brother Branham rose up right now? Tell us what you were doing back there. You started with the spirit, you finished with the letter, and you lost the spirit. See, the word has to have such an impact, such a conviction, that would tear us to pieces. We're supposed to be bleeding. Day and night. Cry and sigh for the abomination that's done in the city. Where is this gospel? Where is it? Oh, we're in the message. They believe on Jesus. You know who are they? You go down and continue there. They're the one, the 44th verse, he says, ye of your father the devil, and his lust of your father you'll do. He called them serpent seed, the ones that believe in Jesus. Now you study that. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Call them sons of Satan. Now, God now looks at us in Israel, we know, what it was, and we'll never finish with Israel. Israel is the direction that we evaluate ourselves many times. Now we know that in the Laodicean church age, of course, Laodicea comes from the word Laodiki. It was a woman's church age. Laos and Diki conquered the people. That was the name of the emperor at the time. It was a woman's city. And Jesus said to them, writing his word here, he says, you are miserable, naked, and you don't even know it. You know, sometimes you look at the last day's revelation, and let me close because our time is over with this. I have done 3 pages, and that's all I can go. But listen to this. I would like to give you something to think a little deeper. The third chapter of Revelation is called the book of the church of the Laodicean church, starting with the 14th verse. Speaks about lukewarm. The 15th and the 16th verse, if you like to draw a parallel, go back to Proverbs 13:7. On that. 17, he starts, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increase in goods and have need of nothing. Knowest that they're wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. They don't even know it. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried with fire. You know, there's a testing that we reject it. There's a testing that God permits some people to go through, and you look it over and you say, do I have enough testing to know that I'm rebuked and chastened? You see, we base love in flowers. We base love in somebody hugs you, the pastor or the deacon. But here, whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. This came to my mind about Danny Williams. Danny, I'm just like his second father, I was to Danny. They found 2 tumors. They removed the one, the other one tried to dissolve it. His wife pushed him out of the house. Think of it. Worse and worse. And he was walking on the hallway. He hit himself on the wall. He's paralyzed on the left side completely. Trials for the whole family. I'm just wondering if God doesn't refine people like gold and look at the trial and will never look at the results. Tried with fire. You know, it's not a picnic. Touch the fire, it's going to get burned. Burns any self that's in there. The root of bitterness die. No more for that. In all the Laodicean churches, God gives instructions. And in this instruction says, whom I love and rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. We translate that, be zealous therefore and accept the message. You tell me repent, it just looks like, if God doesn't give it, me and Gordon could never do anything about that. We learn that. God permits us things to learn. It is the goodness of God, Romans 2, that leadeth thee to repentance. He says, oh, you ignore that. And you don't know yourself. That's only God's goodness that you are what you are. In the whole Laodicean church age, remember, it comes to the bottom of one decision. We close with that. Listen to the decision. There are many people that cannot attend church. It can be because of illness. There are sick people at the hospitals. Retired people at home, they can't move. There are people cannot go to church because of transportation. They don't have the means to travel. There are people, their distance is too much. Number 4, their working conditions. They don't know when they work and when they don't. They are rotating. There's no church available in that area where they are. But God now concludes and makes a provision for everybody. He gives the instruction. He says, anytime that the doors are open, go to church. But I read the conditions, right? Okay, listen to this. God looks at this man at the hospital, looks at this old lady sitting with a cane, 90 years old, can't go nowhere. Listen to what he said. He says this, as many as I love are rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. 1 Corinthians 12:32 parallels to that. Study the original word is mastiwono. It's like a leather strap with the end that you beat somebody with straps. Mastiwono, that's where it's coming from. To him that overcometh, but he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, right? We're sitting here and says, Jesus knocks at the door. If any man hear my voice, not to the church. Oh, we are all the church of the message ready for the rapture. Forget that. Your obligation is to go to church, but the calling is to individual. You have no more rights than the old lady that's 90 years old in her bed sitting there and talking to God. And now, not only that, it says, if any man hear my voice. There are many people here, but I understand not. When the message, I got a quote for you. Outside on the porch, battling about quotes. Who's right, who's wrong. Get away from that stuff. Read your Bible, play the tapes, and go on. Let them argue it. Let them fight it. Try to distract you from going to God. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup. And will sup with him and he with me. God promised me and you in this last church age that we're going to have a supper together at the end time. Supper is at the end of the day. That is the word ibdipnon. And now when you look at this, we're going to sup together with Jesus. And remember, regardless of what the whole world is going to do, you have a promise that if you hear the voice and open the door, Jesus is going to sit with you and talk to you. What a provision. Am I right? The one that works, the one that cannot make it, the one no transportation. He doesn't sit in the corner. He says, no, I'm going to go to hell. I didn't do this. That's legalism. I'm in Jesus, and I'm set free and free indeed. I like that kind of a gospel, isn't it? Brother Branham, in the last time before he was leaving, he said, I have nobody to preach to. You know that? Nobody to preach to. And now we're packing the churches because there's no repentance of the Holy Ghost. That repentance will scare some of the Jezebels away. Because they can try to stand in their hand to do it, head to do it. They cannot do it because God has to do it. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. When we get to Laodicea, because I like to cover some materials there, next week we'll continue. Brother Woosley comes next Thursday, but we'll have a service Saturday. Brother Brian, correct me. And I appreciate that. But the service, it's at 7. Am I right, Brother Brian? 7 o'clock instead of 8. I apologize for my mistake. So what I can see there now, then we're going to be moving right after that. Like I said, 10 virgins, 144,000. Don't let be deceived. Remember, it was not because they didn't have the lamps, but they didn't have a vessel that carried the oil. You can light your lamp and feel pretty good, but we need a vessel of the Holy Ghost to carry us through. We need it in our souls. Then I'd like to go to Thessalonians about the second coming of the Lord. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. there is the masterpiece of resurrection, the masterpiece of burial. You know. There are people looking for this, for that. To me, I tell you what I look for, Jesus to meet him in the air. That's what I'm looking, you know. So I hope we'll go on with our study and I'll control my time better. Let's stand. Let's sing that chorus, "At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart roll away." And I'd like to ask this brother, behind Brother Gordon, this brother, to pray, to close us in a word of prayer after the song, brother. Looks like a Christian young man there. God bless you, brother. Let's sing "At the cross." "At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart roll away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day." Once more. "At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart roll away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day."
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
God bless you.